Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. I'm so glad that you tuned in to the program. I want to share with you a prayer that Jesus prayed that I think is so powerful and it can really touch you. It comes from John chapter 17, and he prayed, "Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That was such a powerful prayer. Did you notice how Jesus started? First of all, he started, "Father." And really, that is the key to prayer. Prayer is all about a relationship with God. Don't complicate prayer. It's not hard to figure out. It's simply relational between your Father and you. And that's how Jesus always started his prayers. He would always pray, "Father." Remember that beautiful prayer, the Our Father, he gave us? I remember I was studying in Israel one time, studied there for about 3 months. That was back in my seminary days. Went to all kinds of different churches. And one of the churches that I went to was a church called Pater Nostra. It's right on the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem, very ancient church. And it was a traditional site where Jesus prayed the Our Father. Well, the interesting thing is, as you go into this church, actually right outside in the courtyard, as you're walking in the courtyard there, there are these ceramic colorful plaques. There's 140 of them. And it's all in different languages, the Our Father, the prayer of the Our Father. For example, you walk up to one plaque and it's in Hebrew, the Our Father. Another plaque, the Our Father, is in Latin and Greek and English and Italian and German and Spanish and Filipino. 140 different languages. So what is this church proclaiming? It's proclaiming that God is Father for everybody, all people of every ethnicity, in all places, in every generation. As Jesus said, God is my Father and God is your Father. So when you pray, come to God as your daddy, as your father. It's relational. Don't complicate it. It's very, very simple. So Jesus was saying that God is available, because that's what fathers are. They care for you, they're there for you, hopefully. They're available, they're accessible, they're approachable, they're knowable. So it's real simple when it comes to prayer. God is your Father. It's relational. No matter where you've come from, how old you are, what your ethnicity is, God is your daddy, God is your Father. And so, he then talked about in this petition, when he talked about Father, he said, "Father, I hope you notice this," and this is what the majority of this talk is about, "keep them in your name." Keep them. What is Jesus praying for? What is his great petition? This is the high priestly prayer. John 17 is the high priestly prayer of Jesus at the Last Supper, before he's about to undergo his passion. And he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for you and me. And he's asking God to keep them, to keep us. What is he praying for? He's saying, God, protect them, shelter them, bless them, be with them, guard them, keep them. What a prayer. I want to talk about God keeping you, protecting you, sheltering you. That is so important. That's what fathers do, isn't it? They protect their young. They keep their young. I remember one of the earliest images I have of my dad. We used to go to Cape Cod. You know, I'm from Massachusetts, and we would go to the beach in Cape Cod. Cape Cod is that little hook right out at the end of Massachusetts. And we go to the beach. I'm probably about 4 or 5 years old. And I remember Dad took me in his arms, and he waded out into the water, and we kept going deeper and deeper, and finally it was over our head, over my head anyway, and the water came right up to here, and my dad was holding me, and I was looking out at the water, and it was really deep and everything, and the waves were coming, but my dad's arms were so strong. His biceps were really big, because my dad was a carpenter, And I knew that even though it was deep and even though the water was swelling and the waves were coming and it was dangerous, that my dad was going to protect me and he was going to keep me. And that's exactly what Jesus is praying for. He's saying, Father, protect your people, keep your people in the midst of any storm, in the midst of any dangerous situation, in the midst of any hardship, keep them, protect them, shelter them. And that's what I want to tell you this as you're watching this program, that I believe that God is keeping you, He's watching over you, He's protecting you and holding you in His everlasting arms. I think that's so important, and I want to tell you, may God keep you close when you feel lonely, depressed, or you're grieving. May God keep you strong when you're facing an addiction, when you have a bad habit or a sin that you're falling into. May God keep you from all harm when you're driving, when you're flying, when you're taking a train. And may God keep you faithful, even when you're not feeling like God is there in prayer. May God keep you strong, and faithful. May God protect you and guard you. That is so important, so very important. If you remember back in the Old Testament, there was a priest named Aaron. Aaron was the brother of Moses. And Aaron prayed his priestly prayer. And if you remember, he said, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And there's that prayer again, for God to protect you and to keep you, to guard you, to shelter you in every moment of your life. Recently, just before this taping, I was preaching in New York City. And I was giving a mission there right by LaGuardia Airport, a place called Whitestone, New York. And I met one of the parishioners there. He was a retired New York policeman. And I was talking with him about what happened on 9/11 when the terrorists attacked our World Trade Centers. And he told me that he was one of the first responders, that he had gotten to the World Trade Center right after it had been attacked and they were helping people. And he asked me if I'd like to go down there. And I said, yes, I'd love to see it. There's a memorial there, and I've never been, and I'd want to see what it was like. So he took me on the subways, and we went into New York City on Manhattan Island. And we went, first of all, to the Freedom Tower. If you've ever seen it on TV, it's the highest building, the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere, 1,776 feet, very symbolic for our freedom. Declaration of Independence, of course, signed in 1776. So we went there, and I remember I stood beneath the building, and I looked up, and it looked like the building was right over me. It was so tall. And then we went around the building, and there was many people from, talk about different ethnicities and different people from all over the world. I looked, and there was maybe 1,000 people just standing around. Some were in line to go to the museum. And as we walked, there's a traditional place where they have now the memorial where the towers were. There's two very large square holes. They are reflecting pools. And as I approached the first one, these are where the buildings stood, the two big square areas. And as I approached the first one, right on the outside of the reflecting pool is a kind of a granite memorial, and it surrounds the whole reflecting pool. And it has all the names of the people who died there, over 3,000 people. And we searched for the names of some of the policemen that he knew, and we found them right there on the granite marble surrounding. And as we looked at the names, I looked into the pool. You could see down below. And what that square reflecting pool was waterfalls going down. And then it hits the bottom, and then they go down even further into another hole. And as you stand there and you look into that reflecting pool, realizing that thousands of people died right on that very spot, it's a place of grieving. It's a place of reflection. It's a place where you think about those who have been lost. And as I looked at it, I couldn't help but think about how hard it is to grieve. And as the water cascaded down and then cascaded down again, how empty grieving is. And I couldn't help but think about my own mother. I just lost my mother back in August. My mom was 90 years old, the love of my life. Many of you had been praying for her and were wondering what happened. Well, she went in for heart surgery, and a few days later, she died. And I was suddenly thrust into the grieving process. And if you know anything about grieving, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote a book called On Death and Dying, and she talks about the stages of grieving. There's five main stages: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Well, what I mostly felt was sadness and shock. Even though my mother was 90 years old and I knew that she was going to die one day, I was still shocked by it all and the sadness that I felt immediately. But this is where God keeps me. In other words, He guarded me, where God kept me, right in the midst of grieving. When I talk about God protecting you and keeping you and guarding you, it's right in the midst of our issues, for example, grieving or loneliness or depression. And as I was grieving, it's interesting, I found this strength, this hope, this power that only comes from God. God was holding me in His arms. You see, one of the hardest things I had to do was to have my mother's funeral. And yes, we celebrated her life and everything, but I had just lost my mom. And here I am as a Catholic priest celebrating the funeral. You know, all of her friends were there, my relatives were there. That was a tremendously hard thing for me to do, yet there was grace. There was strength for me. And I remember the funeral itself, the ability that I had to do it, right in the midst of all my turmoil, all my grieving, all my pain. And then right after that, a couple weeks after that, I was back on the road. I was in New Jersey preaching. I went to other places preaching these missions that I preach. And some people would say, Father Cedric, you need time. Just sit down for a while and grieve. But I found that I had this superior strength, this hope, because God was protecting me. And I want to tell you, those of you who are grieving, or maybe you're lonely or depressed or whatever it is, it's right in the midst of it. See, God doesn't always keep you from these things, but He keeps you in these things. Real life issues. One of the ways I was able to grieve, and I want to share this with you, I haven't read this in any book, but I remember I went to the Bible, and there's a verse that is so important. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:13, and it says, "We don't grieve like the rest who have no hope." Did you get that? We don't grieve like the rest of the world that has no hope. You see, we have this amazing hope of being reunited with God and being reunited with our loved ones. Let me tell you about my mother. My mother, some of you have read my books and you know you've watched me on television. My mother had been to many of my missions. She's read all of my books. She's talked with me personally. She's watched all my television programs. And one thing about my mother, and if you know anything about my teachings, I talk about surrendering to Jesus. You come to Jesus just as you are. He died for you at the cross, poured out His blood for you. So we have a hope of eternal life. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. And my mother knew my teachings well. She had surrendered herself to Christ. And that's one of the great joys that I had at her funeral, knowing that my mom had given her life to Christ over and over and over again. She had received communion. She loved to go to church. She goes to confession. So she was right with God. So I know that my mom is in heaven with God, that Jesus has received her. So that helped me to grieve so much, so well. And God was protecting me. And then I also realized that when it comes to grieving, the loss of my mom is only temporary. And I realized this, that yeah, for a while, I'm not going to be able to talk to her on the phone. For a while, I'm not going to be able to go home and see her anymore. But it's only temporary. There's going to be a great reunion. You see, we don't grieve like those who don't have hope. We have tremendous hope. And it's in this hope that God protects us, that God keeps us, and that God helps us. I have a picture of my dad on my wall in my bedroom. And it's a picture of my dad doing some welding. You know, he is a carpenter and he used to weld and do different things. And I remember I lost my dad 14 years ago, and I remember there were times when Dad was alive, I would be gone on the road and living in community in Houston or Sacramento or wherever I lived. I'd be gone from my dad for 6 months at a time, sometimes 8 months at a time, and I wouldn't see my dad for that whole time. And then when I go back home to see my dad, and it was just like it was yesterday. Even though you lose your mom or your dad for years, maybe 10 or 20 or 30 years, or maybe a child or a spouse, and it seems like a long time has passed, in our reunion in heaven, it's going to be just like no time has passed. All of a sudden, we're just going to pick up right where we left off. What I'm simply trying to say is that God keeps us when we grieve. God keeps us when we're lonely. God keeps us when you're depressed. No matter what issue, no matter what you're going through, and Jesus prayed for this, that God would keep you and me. He would guard you. He would hold you close to his heart. One other little thing about grieving. I noticed something about right after my mom died, the intensity of the pain was so great. But as time went on, time heals. We've all heard that. And maybe if you're going through grieving right now and there's an intense pain, I want you to know it's going to get less. So we don't grieve like the rest of the world that has no hope. We have a living hope, a great hope, and we can cope through hope. And one of the ways that God keeps us, protects us, guards us, depending on the issue, is through the great hope that we have. And so I want to tell you that God keeps us and he protects us right in the midst of our trials, right in the midst of our problems. I remember when I studied in Rome, we went to a tomb, actually a catacomb. The catacombs were historically where the Christians prayed and kind of hid out from the Romans who were persecuting them. So in one of the catacombs, the catacomb of St. Callistus, there was an ancient Christian symbol right on the wall, and it's the symbol of an anchor with a cross right on the top of it. And I went down into the tomb of St. Callistus, and I found that symbol etched into the wall. And if you remember from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 6:19, it says that we have this hope of eternal life as an anchor for our soul. Well, if you've ever seen a ship in the midst of a storm, they drop anchor so that when the storm comes, the ship is held firm and it is secured in the midst of the storm so that it doesn't blow all over the place. In the same way, the hope that we have, the hope of eternal life, holds us firm. The hope of a reunion with our loved ones, the hope of our eternal life with God, holds us firm in the midst of grieving, in the midst of hardships, in the midst of difficulties. So I'm praying that our hope in Christ will anchor you no matter what you're going through. It could be grieving. It could be, as I said, depression or loneliness, relationship problems, physical suffering. You see, we have a great hope in Christ, and he will keep you in the midst of whatever you're going through. He may not keep you from grieving, but he keeps you in grieving. He may not keep you from loneliness, but he'll keep you in loneliness. And he may not keep you from anxiety, but he'll keep you in the midst of anxiety. Let's talk about anxiety here for a minute. I want to tell you that God will keep you from worry and anxiety. I hear this from many people. Oh, Father, I'm worried about my children, or I'm worried about traveling, or I'm worried about this operation that's upcoming. And I understand that. To be human is to worry. For example, it's so easy to think about the future and worry and ruminate about the worst case scenario. For example, I travel and I preach missions all around the country. I go to New York, I go to California, I go to Michigan, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, all these different places. And every time, right before I'm about to leave on a mission, my mind kind of ruminates on all these different things. For example, I live in Houston, and when I drive to get to the airport is hard. It's always rush hour in the morning when I have to go. And I'm always thinking, you know, what if I get stuck in rush hour? You know, what if I don't make my flight? What if I do make my flight and the flight crashes? Or what's it going to be like when I get there? You know, what about the food situation? Is it going to be noisy? What kind of a bed am I going to have? So there's all these variables, all these different things that I worry about and I ruminate about. And then when I do that, I think about the teachings of Jesus. See, we are kept, we are guarded, we are protected by the very teachings of Jesus. And I say to myself, Cedric, you know, you're a missionary, God has called you, God will protect you. You got to get back to basics sometimes. And so whatever worries you might be going through in your life, just stop for a minute and think about the teachings of Jesus for you. For example, I had this read at my profession when I became a Passionist. Jesus said, don't be anxious about your life. Look at the birds, look at the flowers. They don't toil or spin, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them, protects them, clothes them. Isn't life more than the body? And then he said, your Heavenly Father takes care of them. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Take it one day at a time. I don't know if you've ever experienced an AA meeting, or maybe you've seen a bumper sticker on the back of the car. This comes from Alcoholics Anonymous. They have this saying, easy does it, one day at a time. So in other words, it's easy to be anxious about all these different things. Even as a missionary and as a priest, I get anxious about traveling and all these different things. But when that happens, I always tell myself, Cedric, the teachings of Jesus will protect you. Concentrate on that, not on the anxiety. If you've ever been on a building, you know, way up in a building, if you look down, you get dizzy. Don't look down. In other words, don't get negative. Don't get anxious. Jesus said some other things. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. See, this is to guard us. He said it's our heritage as a disciple. He bequeaths peace to us. And then he said, don't let your heart be troubled. So in other words, I remember I read it in one translation. It just said, stop. Don't let your heart. Don't get anxious. Don't let yourself go there. Don't look down. Stay firm. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And I'll tell you what, don't get all bent out of shape. That's not discipleship. Be at peace. Jesus is with you. He will guard you. You know, to be human is to have an uncertain future. We don't know everything that's going to happen. There are many unanswered questions. We don't know the future exactly, but we know the one who holds the future in his hands. Remember, God is your Father, and with his hands, with his strong arms, he will hold you close to his heart. There's no need to be afraid, Jesus taught. No need to be anxious. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And notice, he said that about peace on the night before he died. Here he is giving us his peace in the midst of all the turmoil, the betrayal, the denials, everything that he was about to go through. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I remember I saw a movie one time. It was called The Lion King. And The Lion King was one of my favorite all-time movies. And here's little Simba. His dad had died. Mufasa had died, and Simba had run away because he thought he killed his father when actually he didn't. But anyway, he was all anxious and all upset and all worried about everything. And he meets these two little characters, Pumbaa and Timon. And one was a meerkat and the other was a warthog. And he meets them and they see how bent out of shape Simba is. And they tell him about a philosophy that they have. And it's called Hakuna Matata. And they teach Simba a song. And the song is Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful phrase. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. And oftentimes, you know, when I'm going through things, I'll say, Cedric, Hakuna Matata. Don't worry. Be at peace. And I want to say that to you. Some of you have some stuff coming up. Maybe it's an operation. Maybe you're going to be traveling. Maybe you have relationship problems. There's just stuff that everybody has. And I want to pray Hakuna Matata for you. That means don't worry. God is in control. God is in charge. He will protect you. As Jesus prayed, he will keep you. There is a verse that I absolutely love. It comes from Philippians 4:6. And it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep, there's that word again, will keep your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. So, for example, I'm about to go on a mission, and I'm getting all bent out of shape. and I'm thinking about all the anxiety and everything, what I do is I go to my room and I say, thank you, Father, for calling me to be a missionary. Thank you so much that you're going to work through me to touch people's lives. Or maybe it's a TV show and I'm anxious about that. Thank you, God, that you're going to work through this TV show and touch multitudes of people. And I thank you and I praise you. And then the peace of God will keep you, will keep your mind and your heart from getting into anxiety and worry in Christ Jesus. So let me wrap all this up. Jesus prayed, Father, keep them in your name. What a high priestly prayer that was. And Jesus was telling us that prayer is relational. God is his Father and your Father. And prayer is something where we offer petitions, and the number one petition Jesus prayed is, Father, keep them, guard them, hold on to them. And I want to pray that for you right now, whether it be depression, as I said, or loneliness, or physical suffering, or grieving, or anxiety, whatever situation you're in right now, I pray that the Lord will keep you. Now, here is the prayer of Aaron, the great high priest that I referred to. And I'm going to end the program with this. And I want you to receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.